Benjamin, wrong side of the pond. He is DJ Schweitzer. I am Jeremy Lance. Do we even want to have the conversation of how your weekend was?
Chaotic.
Yeah?
Yeah. We seem to be, like, trading hospital experiences, it seems like.
Yeah.
Member of your family gets sick, member of my family gets sick. One of your kids needs to go to the emergency room. Right. One of my kids goes to the emergency room.
Yeah, luckily none of my kids have swallowed any more batteries lately.
Yeah, so. That is not the reason I went to the emergency room. I spent a good chunk of today at Cincinnati Children's Hospital due to my daughter falling down a set of stairs last night and breaking her leg. So that was fun. Nothing like an sounds almost amazing. 2-year-old with a broken leg.
That's street cred, I guess?
Maybe.
For a 2-year-old?
I guess. Probably the best time for a 2-year-old to break their leg, though. You know, rather than being like a 5-year-old kid who's like going to be involved in sports and stuff like that, mm-hmm. like at least this isn't interrupting anything. It just means my almost 2-year-old who's used to walking and talking and doing all of her own things now has to be told you're not allowed to walk.
Yeah.
It's going wonderfully.
Oh, I'm sure.
It's going wonderfully.
She'll be a fan of it.
Yeah, but otherwise, my weekend has been mostly not crap. Unless you talk about soccer, and then it gets back into the crap realm.
well, bad news,
which
gang.
Which we're going
to
do.
That.
Yeah. How was your weekend?
Better. Yeah, it was all right.
Yeah, it was better.
Yeah, had a work Christmas party, work meeting.
Bonding experiences?
Yep. Yeah, but it sucks. I had to go back because I was actually in meetings all day Saturday. So I actually had to go back and watch most of Saturday's action. I didn't get to watch any of it live.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah, not fun.
Yeah.
Not fun. Let's get into it. But first, I guess we got to start at the best spot.
The fantasy spot?
I guess that's the one.
Yeah. Normally, we wouldn't call it the best spot. And this week, that falls into the same type of a classification, at least for one of us. You fell 11 places to 115th. I improved 8 to 107th. For the first time this season, I'm ahead of you in the table.
Mm.
Yeah, take that.
That's rough.
At the top,
I cannot handle that.
Well, you're going to have to.
I might actually have to try.
Yeah. Giving you some motivation, finally. At the top of the stack is Lawyers, Guns, and Money. Jay Slack, 4 weeks in a row. I think that's just going to be a theme here for the rest of this year.
Probably. Oh, we did hear back from him. He's not related to that ref that I brought in.
That's disappointing.
Yeah, I was bummed out.
I had high hopes.
I figured, I was like, oh, certainly. There can't be that many slacks in this city.
Plenty of slackers.
A lot of slack.
All right. Well, let's get into the real football then. Lots of real football went down since we last recorded.
Yeah.
There have been 2 game days that have transpired.
Yeah.
We're going to run down all of them, but we are certainly not going to be talking about all of them. So
luckily for us, I don't think there was actually a marquee match of the lot in that midweek.
Yeah, there wasn't.
Like, there was no big clashes at all.
Mm-mm.
So we'll brush over those in the whip. Let's start with the one marquee match we did have this week.
Yes.
And that was Arsenal falling at home to United 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
Lingard with a brace in this one. Paul Pogba did not get to enjoy all of those matches. He stamped on Hector Bellerin.
Yeah, that was one of those ones that red card ultimately, it was a red card, right? You see the replay of it, you look at it and you go, ooh, God, that was a red card. But in the run of play, it's not like it was totally malicious. It wasn't like he had his foot up really high. It didn't seem like he was trying to hurt the guy. It was just one of those red cards that you just feel like if you were a fan of that team, you could understand being aggrieved. But Pogba, before he did that, he set up Lingard's second, United's third on the day with a fabulous show of strength and skill.
Mm-hmm.
Like you understand why he's worth as much as he's worth when you see him just shrug off defenders that are hanging all over him to set up Jesse Lingard. Lingard's first goal, by the way, which was the second for United, also set up incredibly well. A little twisting scoop by Martial. I don't know if you saw the replay of it, but it was a brilliant little turning assist that he slid through for Lingard's first of the day. But this match on the whole, like, was a joy to watch. Like, if you didn't have a horse in the race, this thing was super fun. And it was because it was just this totally breathless, like, end-to-end, both sides just going at each other. And United certainly looked the better side throughout most of it. But Arsenal had their chances, and that made things super interesting.
So for Arsenal, this is obviously a big loss for them at home to fall to a rival like this in United. I brought this up with your guys. I'll bring this up now with Arsenal because the same thing is happening here. 1-1-3 against top sides this season.
Yeah. It seems to be the North London like glitch right now.
Yeah.
Neither one of these sides. And look, historically, it's kind of been that way as well over the last 4 or 5 years. That they've really struggled when they come up against the big dogs. And you know, Arsenal, Lacazette having the goal in this one, he probably could have had three more. They were denied a late penalty for Welbeck, who was clearly fouled in the box as well. Maybe that would have been enough to shift the momentum for them. But like United were the team that were in control of this match from start to finish. And this is just another one of those displays of like Arsenal have enough in them to be good. You see it. They have games where they look fantastic, much like they did in the midweek. And then they have games like this where they look totally outclassed by superior opposition. And I think Stu Holden got blasted for this by a lot of people in the Arsenal fan segment this week. But he called them totally average. And I think that is what they are. They're a side that are capable of being good, but don't really aspire to be great in a way that the best teams often do. And it's, you know, we've talked a lot about this, but I think that starts at the head of the unit. And at some point or another, that head's going to have to go if you're going to get some sort of a change in that realm.
Let's move over to the other side of North London. Spurs. WTF.
Yeah.
Why the face?
Why the face that I'm wearing right now? Spurs, I tweeted this when they conceded the early goal in this weekend's match.
Uh-huh.
Spurs are officially in a funk, and then they brought it back, and I said they're officially out of the funk for now. But
Tottenham, but really, did they get out of the funk?
Nah, they're like, not. They
drew with Watford.
So I went back and looked through this a little bit. They've won one in their last five league matches.
Last win November 5th. So we're reaching the 1 month anniversary of that.
And that was a 1-0 win over Crystal Palace at home.
Hey, sometimes hard to do.
Well, hey, look, they have not conceded at all in their next following two matches in the league themselves. So they're a tough nut to crack and not as bad as their position in the table. But Spurs are struggling. And you know, in this match, obviously getting a 1-1 draw this weekend with Watford after coming down or starting in a hole. Watford's Kabalesi getting the opener. Also his first goal for Watford. Spurs come back and equalize 12 minutes later, but like then the red card happens right after halftime. Mm-hmm. And let's be fair, that was also a correct sending off with Davinson Sanchez getting a nice little elbow into the side of Richarlison's face. But they just, I don't know what it is right now. Like, you want to say like, oh, Spurs are, there's something fatally wrong with them. Maybe there's, you know, just not the right combination. Maybe they burn out all their luck last year. But it's not like this is just the only side of their season. You look at the Champions League, and they're undefeated in the month of November.
Yeah.
And the two wins that they have are against Real Madrid and Borussia Dortmund.
Both sides who are struggling
domestically themselves and even on the season on the whole as well. But still big wins. So there's this weird dichotomy, and I have to think that there's just a little bit of focus that's lacked in the Premier League as they've focused hard on success in Europe. I think that's where it is right now. Earlier I called Arsenal an average side, and I think right now Spurs are playing like an average side too.
Let's talk midweek. They fall to Leicester City.
Look, Spurs definitely have their issues in that game as well, but they were definitely sunk too by two like world-class strikes. Jamie Vardy's opening goal early on in that one too, lobbing Lloris from like 35, 40 yards out, just perfectly taken. And then Mahrez had like an amazing curler, way too much ball or time on the ball he was given. But like, I can't be mad about 2015 Jamie Vardy and Riyad Mahrez showing up in their time machine.
Yeah,
and
it was vintage 2015. Yeah. Mahrez and Vardy.
But it is still like a part of this larger trend of Spurs really struggling. And you mentioned earlier, like the five in their last five matches, they have losses to Arsenal and Manchester United. Like those are the people directly in their top four sights.
Good news, kid. You got City in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Thanks for the reminder. Should be fun.
Yeah. I can't wait.
Should be fun. But I do think this is them. They've got an eye on European football at the moment, and I think that's where things are at the moment.
All right, let's whip around the rest of the league. Let's start back on the midweek.
Okay.
We'll go back on Tuesday. Brighton Hove Albion, Crystal Palace 0-0. Congratulations. We already Leicester getting the 2-1 win versus Tottenham. Mm-hmm. What was really actually a fun game, Manchester United winning 4-2 against Watford, but this was actually a pretty entertaining match.
Yeah, United going 4-up in that match early on, getting kind of love all over the place. Ashley Young getting a brace in that one. That was a little weird. Martial and Lingard also getting in on the action.
Did he swallow any bird poop during the match?
Did not see any bird poop swallowing. Watford, though, pulling back too in the later stages of the match, making things super interesting. Yeah, this was a really fun one in the midweek.
And then West Brom 2, Newcastle 2.
That was actually a fun match.
Yeah, Newcastle getting getting the goal via a Johnny Evans own goal at the 83rd minute. Newcastle scraping for points there as they kind of were looking to climb back into relevancy. On Wednesday, Arsenal pretty much ran Huddersfield right out of the league with a 5-0 thrashing. Chelsea got by Swansea 1-0.
Mm-hmm.
Rudiger getting the goal there as we see the back line for Chelsea.
It's where all the production is.
We're getting young now.
Yeah.
It's going to be, we're seeing a lot of pretty much just Azpilicueta, Rudiger, and Christensen. And mm-hmm. you look at that and you go,
okay.
That's the future.
Yeah.
The future is now. Future.
It is now.
With apparently David Luiz possibly heading to Real Madrid or somewhere else.
That seems ludicrous.
Burnley 2-1 over Bournemouth. Everton
4-0 over West Ham.
Yep.
Big Sam in the stands. Speculation yeah, rampant at that point. He had not been named yet. So everyone's losing their shit.
He was just there for
He is. And he had a few and enjoyed it as Everton rolled out to a huge win. Rooney getting a hat trick. One of those goals.
Hold on, yeah.
One of those goals.
Let's let marinate. Rooney had a hat trick in this match.
Yeah. His first for Everton, I think. I don't know that he'd ever had one for Everton before. One of those goals, the last of them being in his own half. Setting up a lob, really well taken. That seems like something that should be easier to do than it, like, you think it would happen more frequently, but Rooney made it look so easy.
People were saying, like, as far as that kind of goal, the goal from your own half mm-hmm. goes, that actually might be the best one in years, in possibly even of Premier League era history.
I mean, coming from a guy who played for a team that had arguably the most famous in your own half goal ever with David Beckham.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just a spectacular hit. And good to see Waza back in it. I don't know why, but always had this little soft spot for Rooney. And I enjoyed seeing him ring one up.
I was all in on him until he got that hair system. Then he's just a
you're
traitor.
Like, you're like,
just traitor to the cause.
Embrace the balds.
How dare you?
Yeah.
How dare you? So David Moyes aside, did not have a good midweek.
No.
They almost had a good weekend. We will get that in a second. As City also rolled over Southampton 2-1. Mm-hmm. Liverpool keeps going as they beat Stoke 3-0.
On the road.
On the road.
They talk about a cold Tuesday night.
Well, it was Wednesday, but yeah. Close enough. Mohamed Salah scoring twice in 6 minutes in this one to pretty much put this game away late on in the match. Let's go to the weekend. Let's start with Chelsea. Chelsea win as the 7:30 match. They win 3-1 at home against Newcastle. Dwight Gayle actually got the Toon Army on the board first.
Just like they did previous weekend, yeah,
nice
by the way.
Yeah, nice little scrambling goal there. Thibaut Courtois kind of got stuck out of his own net and kind of caught in no man's land. And a little scramble ensued. They put it in, and then Eden Hazard said, "Stand back, everybody.
By the way, I'm a god." Yeah, he really did flip a switch on Saturday morning.
He is.
And just,
I mean,
the days where he is on, he's one of those players where you're like, I can't miss this.
And he's kind of racking them up right now. I mean, we talk about informed players. I just mentioned Mo Salah getting two at the midweek. Hazard's got to be pretty much right up there with guys that are just feeling it right now.
As far as form goes, like, he's absolutely peeling off right now. He's one of those guys that just has the ability to turn a match on its head in an instant. And it's those type of little shifty guys. It's kind of like Kun Aguero that just weasel their way into positions you don't expect them to be in. And then suddenly they're scoring something spectacular.
Yeah, he slammed home a beautiful deflection that fell right to him and just volleyed it home with authority. Converted a penalty later on. The Morata goal is the one that I would say, go watch this one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
A beautiful header. Again, Morata using his head on this one. But Victor Moses, who finally just now back from injury, threads the needle with this cross.
The renaissance of Victor Moses.
Dude, I
love it. Has to be one of the most underrated storylines of the last two seasons.
And remember, it's not just a renaissance of like, hey, Victor Moses is playing well. Victor Moses is playing well
as a wingback.
As a wingback.
Yeah, what the hell? It's the most absurd thing. Only thing more absurd is that he's still keeping those braids with the receding hairline.
Well.
Talk about someone who needs to embrace the bald.
Yeah. Hey, man. You know how I feel. You know how I feel about that. I always want to like just be that guy to say to someone like, hey, guys.
Just why don't you go?
It's time to let it go.
Yeah.
I know it's hard. It's hard for all of us. It's time.
Yeah. I hope someday that you can be the one who delivers that message to me.
I'll be the one. Yeah. I'll be the one to let you know.
You will be the one.
I've let my older brother know several times already. He's not listened.
No. Why do you think I'm wearing a hat tonight?
You guys actually have the similar situation where your head of hair is naturally super thick. But
so it covers it up a little bit.
Yeah, but the walls of defense are starting to falter.
Yeah. What are you saying to me there, buddy?
Well, I don't know. I mean, yeah. Am I saying it to you or am I saying it to Josh Lance? Who knows?
It's uncertain. Who knows? It's uncertain. This isn't the Everton segment, so it can't be aimed at Josh.
Everton 2, Huddersfield nil.
There's the transition.
Everton roll. 6 goals, none conceded in a 4-day stretch there.
Big Sam on the sideline chomping away at his cud. I'm sorry, at his gum. Awesome seeing that. Look, everyone.
This is the greatest thing ever.
Look, I'm sorry that people, and rightly so, are raging about all these English teams not giving younger English managers and going back to the same 5 dudes over and over and over and over and over again.
I'm normally that guy.
Valid points. Anytime Big Sam is involved, I'm like, sign it up. Make it happen. Big Sam's one of those people, much like Jose Mourinho, that like I can't get enough of his antics.
I thought he was going to take the Tennessee job, though.
I saw the tweet. You can rule him out.
Rule him out?
Maybe he could still be AD.
Him and everyone else?
He could still be AD. But on the bench for Everton, Gylfi Sigurdsson getting one of the goals, too. Finding a way to get Rooney and Sigurdsson playing together. That I think is the key to making Everton be a successful side this year. They're going to play them both. And right now, both are in form. And this is one of those matches where they actually look like everything was clicking the way they would want it to.
So, yeah. So, the Big Sam era starts with a bang.
Mm-hmm.
As he gets a win. Everton, you know, kind of, you know, on the trot here. Just getting wins, scoring goals, conceding nothing. I mean, that's actually the biggest story.
Yeah.
Because that back line has looked like absolute trash all season.
Yeah, exactly.
And by all season, I mean up to and including a week ago when Southampton cut them to ribbons.
Yeah, and that's two straight matches with clean sheets. So the Big Sam effect already taking in.
So I'm looking at the Big Sam managerial list.
Okay.
So we have Everton. Current job.
Mm-hmm.
Crystal Palace was caretaker there at the end of last year, really most of last year, because that was they had to go quick hook there.
Yep.
Then obviously had the England job for upwards of 48 hours.
Yeah. He had at least a match under his belt.
Okay. Yeah. One match.
Undefeated.
Sunderland.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, I don't know if you noticed. If everything ends today, Sunderland's in League One next year.
Yeah, I did see that. Yeah.
West Ham, Blackburn, Newcastle, Bolton, Notts County, Blackpool, Preston, and then he started the whole thing off back in the winter of 91 as the player manager of Limerick.
Ooh, awesome. Love that you pulled a player manager dig in there. Like, absolutely my favorite thing in the world. We'll say this much. If I think back to a time, what's the earliest gig you can remember Big Sam having? Because for me, it's Bolton. Like, I remember him patrolling the Bolton sidelines.
I think it's probably Blackburn, maybe either Blackburn or Newcastle, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I certainly remember him back then. And, like, that Bolton side are, like, the Stoke of the early 2000s, like before Stoke became what Stoke are now.
Not interesting.
But I just I can never not be happy to have Big Sam in, because he's going to say something bonkers. He's going to make all sorts of cheeky faces, like when things go his way, like, and they will, because that's what happens with him. So I'm really excited to have him back in the game, and back in our day, in our lives, in our conversations.
All right, so we have the Chris Farley of Premier League managers back.
Yep.
Moving on, Leicester City also get a second win on the week as they beat Burnley 1-0.
Yeah.
Interesting, Burnley only gave up one. Stoke 2, Swansea 1. Anyways, also, guess the score. West Brom versus Crystal Palace.
Hey, Alan Pardew getting a clean sheet.
Yeah.
Yeah, 0-0.
Against his old club.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was 0-0, as we all expected. And yes, Alan Pardew is, as we speculated last week, the new man at West Brom.
Yeah, I'm sure that will do a lot to save them. The other new manager in the league still taking rough hits.
David Moyes. Yeah.
His West Ham side.
He thought he had a win. He thought he could have something.
No. You will not have this, David.
Can't have nothing.
Not at all.
You get nothing.
Ended up losing 2-1 to Manchester City. City, this game was a little bit on the bonker side of things. West Ham taking the lead just before halftime through Agbona into the second half. We didn't see City get on the board until the 83rd minute, the 57th minute, and then getting an 83rd minute winner from David Silva.
Good job, brother.
Yeah.
He did it.
Same day, brother.
I like how he's finally going bald.
I was just getting ready to say,
I mean, he's
how much does it please you
slowly
that your birthday brother, David Silva?
As I've always said, we're slowly going to meld into the same person because we are brothers.
I do hear a little hint of a Spanish accent creeping in there.
Yeah, well, you know.
Just a little bit.
That's how it works.
Slowly gravitating. Spanglish here.
If he gets injured, like, it hurts me too. Like, that's where that kind of twin.
Oh, yeah. You guys are kind of like voodoo dolls from
basically. Right.
Interesting. Hey, guys, I just pinched David Silva.
Yeah, I guess I don't want to say that too much. I'll have United fans chasing me down.
Yeah, that's probably true. Crowbars
trying to murder me.
Luckily, there aren't too many of them in this town.
No, not at all. That's pretty much it. Well, Bournemouth, Southampton, 1-1. Really, the note there, Charlie Austin, he's had two starts in the Premier League this year. He's scored 3 goals.
Keep it coming.
Keep going. Keep going so we can get those empty rumors about you going to being a backup at a top 6 side.
Arsenal, definitely.
Oh, he's so Arsenal. No, actually, what are we thinking? He is the next striker of Liverpool.
Okay, yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right in that respect.
I think we have to move to something that happened this week that we both felt an emptiness about.
Yeah. I saw your tweet about this, and it was very long after mine.
There's a World Cup draw.
How non-committed were you to this process? Like, it didn't really even... Like, I watched it, of course, but like...
Like, I started watching it.
And then I got midway.
And then the stream glitched one time, and I was like, F, I'm out of here.
I just read it. I stuck around because I really wanted to see the Russian dancers.
You didn't have to stick around long for that. That was quick.
There was plenty of it.
They were hot out the gate with that one.
Yeah. I do love how ceremonies like these have become just a gigantic squeeze as much of your culture into 5 minutes as possible. Especially for a country like Russia, which spans an entire continent. And the generalizations that happen because of things like that. Like,
by the way, is this always the case with anything, whether it's the UEFA Champions League draw or the World Cup draw or the FIFA, you know, summit, you know, things. Is it me as an American having kind of a certain, you know, from American culture, a certain bent to what entertainment looks like and what proceedings should look like of a, you know, live production? Or are these things actually worldwide known as very awkward, clumsy events?
I've thought about this, right?
Right. Like, is this just us, like, thinking, like, ooh, that didn't look that great because we're just Americans and it just doesn't seem as polished?
I literally think that's what it is, right? Because we see this and we go, why are they making this into the Oscars, right? Like, why is this the Grammys?
Right. Right?
Like, why am I seeing this Russian pop star
sing
this
song?
No one knows who this is. Over 90% of the planet has no clue who that person is.
Yeah, never heard of this one.
It's a little bit different when you talk about our stars because of American culture being so pervasive that, like, a lot of our stars do transcend, but there's still going to be a large portion of the world that has no clue who our stars are, right?
But, like, are people in, like, Poland watching that and going, boy, that was awkward?
No, I don't think they are.
But that was a clunky production.
Here's the reason why.
There.
Like, when you go to foreign countries, right, like, flip on the television for a little while in the middle of the day and, like, see what type – or even during prime time and see the type of shows that they have on. Variety shows with, like, rando musical, like, performances are so common on, like, the rest of the world's television.
Right. Which is like we
you go south of the border.
We
phased
those out like 30 years ago.
Yeah, seriously. Like I think of things like the Carol Burnett Show, like a seminal show in American television, like basically invented skit television almost to a certain extent, right? But the middle of the Carol Burnett Show, they would break away for like large musical performances, and like the only vestiges left of that in American television are late night television, right? Like the
late
night
host, and then
SNL, right? Like those are the only examples of where those type of things even happen anymore. I think in the rest of the world, that's still just how things go.
Like variety shows.
I think just it's variety shows. Like go watch a Mexican variety show and they break out into song like every 4 minutes.
I feel like it would be more enjoyable than what we watched on Friday though. But I guess I've always wondered that. Like, are we the only ones sitting there going like, God, this is terrible.
But that's the reason I tune in now is I want to see what's terrible. And then I want to watch all the snarky, shitty comments on Twitter. Like, that's what I – that's what I'm in it for, yes. right? Like, yeah, I don't I don't tweet a whole lot for my own account anymore for a lot of different reasons, but like, I could not resist not throwing out a few jokes during the draw. Like, they had those Russian dancers on there, right? Yeah. And all I can think to myself the whole time it's going is like, I have to make this joke, because what I'm legitimately thinking right now is like, this is what I envision the Russian countryside is like. Bunch of milkmaids dancing around with high heel kicks. Like, that's what they do. They're walking down the road, high heel kicking, wearing their milkmaid outfits. Because that's what happens in rural Russia. And they're not drinking vodka, always. And wearing tracksuits.
Always tracksuits. Tracksuits.
Yeah. Doing the Eastern European stance.
Doing the thing where they like you kick the leg out.
Yeah, it's like this. No, da-da-da. It's like they pose. And they're always like, if you pose in a picture, you're doing the squat. It's like the Eastern European squat. For those of you who didn't get to see it, should have had Jeremy take a picture and Snapchat something.
He just did the Eastern European squat.
Yeah.
Which is...
it's weird.
It takes a little talent to pull off.
Mm-hmm. Gotta be limber.
I probably would have blown my groin out doing that, but yeah. I'm glad you did it, not me.
My groin is still here, at the moment at least.
Hooray, groin.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at this actual draw, though, because there is some intrigue because, well, first of all.
We weren't in it?
Is no, that, yeah, no, we were okay. not in it. I love the tweets of people, like, saying, like, waiting, looking for the U.S. at the cup draw and had the that great gif of John Travolta walking in a room and kind of looking, like, back and forth, like, where?
I believe that's
I don't know what movie that's from.
Oh, it's definitely from.
Was it from Phenomenon?
No, it's from Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction?
Yeah, definitely.
One of my favorites.
Mm. So I'm sorry. Have you not seen Pulp Fiction?
No, I've seen it. Oh. Tarantino. Super overrated.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah, not a fan.
I think Tarantino, but anyway. The actual.
Send those emails.
Yeah, right. Let us know which. Which Tarantino movie you hate and or love. Let's talk about the draw itself, right?
Mm-hmm.
First off, let's just start with the process of this draw was different.
Yes.
Normal process that we've gotten used to over the last few World Cups has been the first group is your like top seven teams in the world and right. the host, or six teams, depending on how many people are hosting the tournament. So that's where FIFA rankings used to matter. It was just for the first six to eight teams.
Right.
The next pots were going to be geographically based, and the idea being that you would then have a even geographic distribution in each group. So I actually linked to this. I'm not going to read it. There are all sorts of crazy shit that went down over the course of the last draw, but the general idea is that Africa and South America were grouped together, North America and Asia were grouped together, and then the non-seeded European teams were grouped together. Those were your pots.
Okay.
This year, all that went out the window, and all the pods were based off of FIFA rankings. It used to be, okay, let's say the top seven teams in the world did not include one of the world powers, right? That world power would go into the group four because they are into pot four, where they'd be one of the European sides that weren't ranked, like they were a little down. Now what happens is we had some power spread across every single pot. So like, let me look at this. So the pot one, Russia as host, then Germany, Brazil, Portugal, Argentina, Belgium, Poland, and France. Poland being in there, super weird. But then you look in pot two, and Spain is in there along with Mexico and Uruguay and Colombia, all sides that have been really like dominant on the world stage in recent times.
Which helped set up what could have been a awesome group of death and then didn't.
Yeah. Then you get into the third pot and you have like, listen to these teams. Denmark, Iceland, Costa Rica, Sweden, Tunisia, Egypt, Senegal, Iran. No one in that group is a power.
Yeah, that's the also-rans of...
It used to be like pot three would be North America and Asia, right? So you would get a Mexico or a U.S. team, which is what you would consider less of a power than Mexico on the world stage.
Or Korea.
Right, like that's where that would be.
A good one.
Then pot four was Serbia, Nigeria, Australia, Japan, Morocco, Panama, Korea, Saudi Arabia. Japan and Korea are the only two like notables in there, right? Like they're the ones that you kind of expect to get results occasionally. Mm-hmm. We didn't have these every single pot having a power anymore. Like that's what's changed.
And that's what hurt us, right?
And that is what hurt.
Because we do not have a group of death.
That was my whole point. Like, that's where I was working around to. Because you didn't have an even distribution of powers, we didn't get a real group of death. Like, I earmarked D as being the most group of deathy of all the groups.
Because they're really just kind of all, for the most part.
Because they're all names.
Yeah.
Like, right? Like, they're names. So that group, Argentina, Iceland, Croatia, Nigeria, there's legitimately really only one power in there, right? Like there's Argentina. All of the rest of them are kind of like, ooh, we've been fashionable over the last 20 years.
Sure, yeah.
Iceland being the most fashionable of the current group.
Yeah.
But like that's what ends up happening in this type of system. When you break it down so that the groups are actually evenly distributed by ranking – you lose some of that ability for a group of death to come to life. And I feel like that was a bad thing in this draw.
So who do you think – give me a non-top shelf club or top shelf nation that's got to be feeling great about their draw.
Oh, man. I feel like there are probably a couple of those. You look at
– I think Egypt has to be one, right?
Yes. Okay.
Like, they're in Group A.
So
– they have Uruguay, Saudi Arabia, and what is it, Poland?
Russia.
No, Russia.
Yeah. Russia. Let's talk about this group for a minute, right? Russia, a team generally – or a country generally accepted to be massively overrun with bribery and to have bought this World Cup. Getting a draw.
Okay.
They're a country known for meddling in other countries' affairs, right? FIFA, a organization known for being meddled with.
Mm-hmm.
This is the draw that Russia, the hosts, get in their own country. Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and Uruguay. Two of those teams are ranked in like below 50.
Mm-hmm.
And then Uruguay are like ghosts of what Uruguay were 8 years ago.
Right.
Like they're Luis Suarez and 40-year-old Diego Godin. Like
yeah.
That's who that team is
and
now.
And Cavani, I guess.
Yeah, and Cavani, yeah. What a crazy soft draw for a host. Like,
right. I still think they don't get out though. I still think it'll be Egypt and Uruguay, probably, right?
One would hope, but no, I think Putin will pull a trigger or something.
Oh, yeah? Okay, that's...
But yeah, I think Egypt is wonderful. A side that looks that way. If you're talking about other teams that are probably happy with it, someone like Denmark, you look at Group C, France, Australia, Peru, and Denmark. Denmark are a little bit riding a wave at the moment. Christian Eriksen has been in fabulous form. Australia are a side that don't really flatter to impress in a lot of circumstances. And then France are France, and they tend to implode at international tournaments in most circumstances. So I think that's a team that probably is a little bit happy with that. You look at a country like Mexico. They have a group with Germany, South Korea, and Sweden. Sweden, like, sound cool.
Yeah.
But Zlatan Ibrahimovic doesn't play for them anymore.
No.
South Korea, they have – like Son and a couple guys that play in Germany, and then it's a pretty steep cliff that the rest of the roster falls off of. So that's another team. Like Mexico is probably looking at that and going, the Germany game will be tough, but
other than that,
why not? And then you look at Group H, Poland, Senegal, Colombia, and Japan. Both Poland and Colombia are just licking their lips in that group going, okay,
yeah,
we should advance here. So I think this did set up a position where a lot of the top two teams in every group are really positioned to advance.
Yeah, it's as a neutral that just wants something good to watch, it's probably not the draw we wanted, right?
No. There just wasn't anything that really captured the eye. Now, I did have a really cool stat that I was able to come across. In that group of death, indeed, and I say that so loosely, Nigeria were drawn with Argentina for the fifth time in their last six World Cups.
Okay.
That's a ridiculous stat.
How does that, yeah.
5 out of the 6 World Cups in Nigeria have been to, they've been drawn against Argentina.
Hmm.
It's unlucky. Unlucky indeed. Is there a group that if you were the U.S., where would you want to end up?
I mean, we talk about Group A being kind of an easy jaunt. But no, I think there's other ones.
Sorry, real quick. If we went into Group A, imagine that we replace Egypt, right? Like, let's just say that we're the team that replaces Egypt.
Sure.
Russia, Saudi Arabia, America, and Uruguay.
I mean, that's how Uruguay is. There's obviously some talking points.
That's what I'm talking about. The only way it could have been better would be the U.S., Saudi Arabia, Russia, and Iran all being drawn into one group.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, can North Korea qualify? And we throw them in there?
They've been in a World Cup relatively recently.
Yeah.
And they shipped in fake fans, if memory serves me, right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think they also reported fake scores to their government news agencies.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's correct as well.
Like, I remember seeing it. Like, they would, like, literally the highlight package that, like, the person would be talking over was, like, the players, you know, the walkout,
mm-hmm.
like, 2 seconds of the actual game, and then, like, oh, yeah, and then here's the score, and it was not the actual score.
Oh, that's great. Love that. I love to think that somewhere in Korea someone thinks that they've, and North Korea, someone believes that North Korea won the World Cup.
Yeah, that they just balled out.
Yeah. And Kim Jong-un is probably one of the starting players.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You talking about the guy that had a, you know, that shot like a 30?
I think that was his dad. Around 18. To be fair, I think that was his dad.
Ah, I'm sure he can pull it off too. Why wouldn't he?
He probably did 32.
Supreme leader.
Yeah.
Let's go stateside.
Mm-hmm.
MLS Cup is upon us.
It is.
And it's the same thing we got last year.
It was. Are you disappointed about that? I've heard people say that they're disappointed about that.
Somewhat.
Yeah.
I mean,
you want to see new teams.
It was not a good game last year.
It was not a good game.
so I think that plays a lot into it.
One would presume.
Hey, I don't want to watch that again.
One would presume, given the Sounders haven't conceded a goal during postseason play at this point, that it will probably go the same way. But I'm okay with it. Like, I like that. Like, I like little mini dynasties. I also got to thinking a little bit, like, when was the last time we had an MLS Cup final that was the same as the MLS Cup final the year before?
Did you do the research?
I did. I actually went and looked, yeah.
I know you were just kind of thinking out loud there.
Well, I could have been. Okay. Normally I would be, but I felt like doing the work tonight. This will be the third time that we featured back-to-back similar league finalists. Last one coming in 11 and 12 between LA Galaxy and Houston. Ironically, the only other time that's happened also involved Houston and New England Revolution.
Okay.
So that one was in 06-07. Both times LA won and then Houston won the back-to-backs the other round before. But
so does that mean that Seattle's going to win then? It sounds like it was a sweep in the other two.
Yeah. So if we have to make a prediction, go with the Vegas odds, you go with Seattle.
Okay. That was kind of one of my questions is who's favored. And I guess according to that,
if you're going off of history alone, like why not pick that?
Okay.
Secretly deep down, I want Toronto to win as a Trillium Cup fan.
Is that a thing?
No, it's not. No, it's not. I made that up. There are no fans of the Trillium Cup. As a Crew fan, I'm supposed to not like Toronto due to this fabricated cup that exists between the two teams. But I want – like there's all this talk that this could be the best ever MLS team. I want that type of stuff to happen, right?
Sure.
Like that's what I want to happen with this league. Why can't we have those things and why don't we see them more frequently? I'm all for letting it happen more frequently. So,
let's talk real quick about how we got here. You talk about the Trillium Cup and it was the Trillium Cup semifinals,
mm-hmm.
Or Eastern Conference finals, depending on how you look at it, that we had. And it was the Crew falling to a Jozy Altidore goal up in Toronto. Crew pretty much throwing everything they had, at Toronto there. Justin Merrim, mm-hmm. a chance or two that wanting.
Yeah.
It was a tough way to go out.
Columbus had their opportunities.
Because they just needed one.
Yeah. And they certainly could have had it a couple different occasions. But Toronto, the better side, arguably, over two legs. But Columbus gave them hell. There's no doubt about that. And certainly made it interesting.
A bummer ending to an inspiring run there by the crew out west. Nothing inspiring about the performance that Houston had in the conference finals there. Obviously, they get an early red card and throw away their home leg back during the week of Thanksgiving 2-0, and then it didn't get any better.
No, that's about as good as it got. So they ended up giving us our repeat final from last year. I'm pulling for Toronto deep down, but do you have different opinions? Do you think we'll get a repeat?
I don't want a repeat. Mm-hmm. As I stated, it's not a great watch.
Yeah.
Prefer not to watch it again.
Give me goals.
Yeah, give me goals. Yeah. Give me death.
Well, it will be in a frosty Toronto, Canada here in the not-too-distant future, and we'll get to watch and see if Seattle can create the magic again. Can Clint Dempsey be involved this time? That's the actual question.
Well, that would be good. Mm-hmm. He was hurt last year, so
rolled out with a heart condition, and he'll be available for play. So, but I'm looking forward to the match. I'm hopeful that we won't have a boar fest because that would be a really unfortunate 2 years in a row.
Yeah, that would suck. Mm. Winners and wankers.
Winners and wankers time. I'm going to go ahead and start if you don't mind.
Go for it.
My winners this week, I'm giving it to two now former FC Cincinnati players who are announced to be departing. Harrison Delbridge and Mitch Hildebrandt, two of the original two players signed to the team. Arguably the two biggest name players, best players that have played for the team over the last 2 years.
Yeah, as far as like guys that got honors over the past 2 years, I mean, they were constantly up for monthly awards and monthly team of the month, team of the week.
And the reason I'm giving it to both of them is they both moved on to what you would consider to be higher up leagues. In both cases, Harrison, an Australian center back who previously is featured for the Sacramento Republic, is heading back to Australia. He signed for Melbourne City. If you follow global soccer at all, Melbourne City might follow a bit of a trend that you've seen over the last few years of teams taking on a city name and wearing the color light blue.
Uh-huh.
They're part of City Football Group, Manchester City's larger group, same ones that own NYCFC. And they've been trying to do the same thing down there. They're trying to do over here in the States, and that's put together the best team in that league. And this is also going to offer Harrison an excellent opportunity to potentially get in on the Australian World Cup squad. And that's something that he's been told that they're going to look at him for. Really happy for him. Couldn't be having to a better guy all around. And then Mitch Hildebrandt, who's made his name, obviously, for FC Cincinnati and saving penalties, particularly in this year's Open Cup. Making three huge stops against Chicago Fire. He'll be heading on to Atlanta United, where he'll be under the role of one bald Brad Guzan.
That doesn't suck.
No.
I mean, to be able to kind of be a teammate of a keeper of that prestige and watch him play and kind of pick his brain and learn off of him. Obviously, Mitch still kind of, not super old in his career, so a guy that is still at a level where he's going to be able to
improve
and learn under a guy like that. And
just the chance to work under Tata Martino. And
a great organization to go to.
Yeah. So happy for both of them and making big step-ups. And hopefully someday we'll see them both back in Cincinnati at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Your winner.
My winner goes to goalkeeper Alberto Brignoli.
Who?
That is the goalkeeper for currently last place Benevento of the Serie A. He scored a 95th minute goal. This is the goalkeeper.
Yeah.
95th minute goal to get a 2-2 draw against AC Milan.
Ooh.
So not only is that just awesome, you know, keeper goals, we love those here.
Mm-hmm.
Big fan of keeper goals.
Always.
Not only did we have it being a keeper goal, it also gave them, that draw gave them their first point of the season.
Awesome.
They are in dead last and are on 1 point 15 matches into the season.
We saw the, oh, here it is. It's actually coming up on the screen. Well, yeah, right, literally right now.
Yeah, off the free kick.
Diving header, literally just throwing his head at it, nods it back corner, and his team celebrates legitimately like they just won the World Cup.
Yeah.
This is what the sport's all about. Like, legitimately, that is the coolest thing ever.
Also, it was it's the first time a keeper has scored a goal in Serie A since 2001.
Ooh, it's been a minute.
So, yeah, it's definitely been a minute. So, hats off to him. Something we love to see.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of cool that it met them, a team that has not had a good go of it so far.
Nah.
Finally get a point against not exactly slouches.
Well, good for them. How about your wanker this week?
My wanker goes to Gary Lineker.
Uh-huh.
So going back to awkwardness that was the World Cup draw, he was one of the hosts, I guess, or something.
Yeah.
And at one point, he was compelled by the teleprompter, I think, to break out into the Icelandic clap chant that has become super famous around here.
Yeah.
And he possibly authored literally the worst rendition of it, and most inaccurate and incorrect versions of it ever in the history of ever.
Oh, great.
So, and also, they're just the whole time, there was just kind of that look on his face like, I regret this
Why decision. Did I do this? It sounded so great in my head.
Why did I agree to sit here and promote Russia? Ugh.
Well, coming from a guy who pooped himself during a World Cup game, probably don't expect much different.
So this is the second worst World Cup related thing he did.
Yes. Yes, that is accurate. I'm going to stay on the negative World Cup side of things for now. I don't know the name of these three officials, but it's more just an indictment. I'm going to give the wanker award to Qatar. Three South American soccer officials were offered a total of $10 million to $15 million in bribes in exchange for their votes for Qatar to host the 22 World Cup, as according to testimony today in the FIFA trial in New York.
How's that going, by the way? What is Sepp Tech in the stand?
I would imagine Sepp's going to evade prosecution on this one.
Shocking.
Yeah. It's weird. Weird when you've made a lot of money off of other rich people that you'd be able to work out safety in that respect.
When's Infantino taking the stand?
Yeah. probably the same time lots of other former FIFA people will be taking
the stand. When's Chuck Blazer? Oh, he's dead.
Yeah, he's dead. So there's my wanker. Qatar, FIFA, anyone involved in the Qatar bid.
Wankfest.
Wankfest, for sure.
Well, that'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's super late on Sunday night.
Yeah, it's 12:50. It's one of the later ones for us.
Yeah, not a fan. Hey, you got your tree up. I'm pretty happy about that.
You are happy about that. I did that just for you.
It's good.
Yeah, we'll have to get a Wrong Side of the Pond ornament up on there.
We do. We need to need to get that going.
Yeah. If you want to get a hold of us, get involved in our conversation, contact at wrongsideofthepond.com is the email address. You can get Jeremy at Jeremy Lance.
Yes, correct.
Yeah. you can get me at Wrong Side of Pond as well on Twitter. Say something to us desperately. We'd love for you to talk about us. Use our hashtag.
Please don't at me about your love of Tarantino. I just don't care.
Do nothing but Kill Bill highlights, please.
I actually liked Kill Bill.
Oh, goddamn it!
First part. Didn't watch the second one.
Didn't watch it even. How do you watch the first part and not watch the second part?
Just couldn't be bothered.
Yeah, I suppose there's that.
Kind of leaves it open ended for me. It's kind of nice.
Just like the end of this podcast, eh?
That's right.
All right. See you guys.
Bye.